Welcome to the Harvest Time Podcast, where our mission is the commission to make disciples. Join us as we delve into candid discussions, share inspiring stories, and take practical steps in growing together as dynamic ambassadors for the gospel. Get ready to embrace your purpose as a laborer in God's harvest field. I'm your producer, David Wiseman, and here are your hosts, Katie and Caitlin.
Welcome back to another episode with the Harvest Time Podcast. We are on episode 4 today, and we're actually on part 2 of a mini series on prayer. Last week, we talked about hearing the voice of God. Caitlin really outlined that for us and gave us some practical tools on just what God's voice sounds like and how to tell his voice apart from the world's and from our own. And today we kind of just want to story this out for you, story out what it means to hear God's voice, to read scripture, and to be listening to him, and how that has come out in prayer. And the story we have to share today is actually one that we got to share together. One of our first recruitment trips together, it actually might have been our first. No, it was one of our first though. And we spent some time in Michigan for a conference, and the Lord just did incredible things. And so we want to story that through. But before we do that, Caitlin just wants to kind of share a little bit about what it has looked like practically to hear God's voice through his word.
Yeah, for sure. We're excited to share this story with you. But again, we love to equip you guys with the practicals. So one thing that we want to really emphasize today is that the voice of God is heard most commonly through the word of God. Mm-hmm. So I want to kick off our story today that we want to share with you with a really simple example. So I have a really good friend, and she was visiting me last June, so June of 2023. And we were sitting in my living room floor, and we were just talking. And I mentioned to her that God had put this desire in me years ago. And I said, I just feel like it's a seed that has died, and I don't know if it's ever going to be resurrected. And in that moment, she gets like really teary-eyed. And she's like, I don't normally think this way. I think this is from God. And I said, tell me what you're thinking. And she's like, I just feel like maybe it was a seed that died in the ground so it could be resurrected. And I said to my friend, I was like, that's straight up scripture. And she was like, oh yeah. And so we go to John chapter 12, and literally Jesus says, very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And he goes on to talk about loving our lives and losing our lives and whatnot. And so she said that, and I was like, wow, like, that's the word of God. Like, the Holy Spirit spoke the word of God to her in her thoughts. And so we found it in the word to confirm that it was the word of God. And so from that, it really resurrected my belief that, like, maybe this desire really was from God, and maybe I should believe him because he said it in his word. And so it caused me, from the word, to start praying, God, if this desire is really from you, I want you to resurrect it. Mm-hmm. And so I started praying that, and it was that simple. You know, I looked at the passage, I saw the truth, and I turned it into a prayer, like, God, I want to produce many seeds. So if this has died in the ground, like, would you multiply it? Is that simple? And it took several weeks, but I prayed and prayed and prayed. And there was a night that happened in the summer. I was at my church. And a few days before, I'd felt the Lord say to me that he wanted me to resurrender and re-sacrifice myself on the altar. And I was like, you know, is that the voice of God? And I was like, well, Romans 12, 1 and 2 says we're to offer ourselves as a holy and living sacrifice, because that's our true and proper form of worship. And I was like, okay, that's the scripture. That's something that God would say because he's already said it. So I'll be obedient to that. And I was hesitant. Let's be real. I didn't want to go to the front of my church in front of all those people, but I eventually did. And God just met me. I just surrendered everything to him. And that night, a couple of friends and I were hanging out, and we were eating frozen custard at our favorite frozen custard place. And basically what happened was I had had this injury in my toe, and I couldn't feel it. I couldn't bend it. It just messed it up on the corner of a door one time. And I literally said the words, "I don't know if it's ever going to be the same again." And they took one look at each other and they laid hands and they started praying. And I realized that I have read scripture where people have gotten healed, and I have prayed healing over other people and watched them get healed, but I didn't believe it for myself. Mm-hmm. And so in that moment, I was so convicted because it was the word of God. And so I repented and I just said, "Jesus, I'm so sorry that I haven't believed this for myself and I've only believed it for other people. Will you forgive me? Lord, thank you for giving me faith that you can heal me." And after I said that, we prayed for just a little bit longer, and I was able to fully like move my toe, mm-hmm. bend it, feel it. I hadn't felt that in 2 years. Supernatural, right?
Yeah.
And basically, long story short, the night progressed. I continued to get multiple injuries healed, and by the end of the night was able to run, which had not been a thing in 10 years because of various injuries. So really, really crazy that I got delivered and healed and freed that night. And it was interesting because as I got so freed and so healed, I began to desire that for other people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the word of God that he's the deliverer, that he's the healer, that he sets right. people free. And I knew that Katie and I were going to be together on our work trip. And so it was either that night or the next morning that I was like, "Well, I'm going to start praying for Katie. And if she needs freedom from anything or healing from anything, like, God, I'm asking that you would do that. And when we're together, that you would just meet her." Mm-hmm. And so that was really cool mm-hmm. to just see the word of God, like, catalyze this chain reaction. And for me to really see that freed people beget freedom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'll kind of let Katie take over from here and kind of share the second half of this story.
Yeah. Well, for context too, the past couple of years have just been very challenging for me and my family, physically and emotionally and spiritually. And Caitlin and I at this point had only begun our friendship. And so there were definitely details and things that she did not know. And I did not come into this work trip expecting healing. Like, a work trip's a work trip. You go to work. And so I was not anticipating any type of supernatural anything. And in fact, you know, I was really new in understanding the whole idea of healing and the Holy Spirit and prayer and the power of prayer. It just has not been part of my legacy of faith in a lot of ways. And so there were a lot of barriers, I guess you could say, to me coming into this. And so this whole work trip was just absolutely incredible. And we can't even talk about it all in this short episode. But I, you know, the one night we were there, it was like our first night there. And we were about to go to bed. We thought we should pray together. And I asked Caitlin to just pray over my neck and back. I tend to just be really tight up in my neck and upper back. I carry all of my stress on my shoulders. I had just driven 6 hours. And so I was just asking for a little bit of peace, a little bit of rest to sleep that night. And she came over to lay hands, and I was like, "That's fine. Not my normal thing, but I'm happy for her to do it." And let me tell you what, she began praying, and I truly can't even describe what was going on. I began to feel things that I had never felt before and experience power unlike I had ever felt before. Not only were we tackling the physical pain that I was experiencing, but through Caitlin's mouth, God was speaking healing over my soul. There were decades of wounds and burdens that I had been carrying, hurts that I had been shouldering and taking responsibility for, power in my spirit and strength in myself that God had gifted me that I was not using because of fear. And so as Caitlin was praying and interceding for me, I was praying and just repenting and asking the Lord to renew these things in me. And Caitlin, I don't know if you have anything you want to add to that from your perspective in that moment specifically, but.
Yeah, it was so powerful. I think Katie highlighted it earlier, but I really didn't know her all that well. Like we'd had some deep conversations, but I don't know like her past, hurt and trauma and everything. I knew like general things, which was fine. But I just remember being like, Holy Spirit, I know that you point me to the words of life and that you have knowledge about her that I don't know. And whatever you want to touch tonight, like just move through me. And it was crazy because I was shocked at what was coming out of my mouth, but it had come from this place of like being prayed up, quote unquote, the word of God, and just through believing the word of God and being like, well, if he can do this in me, then like he can obviously do this in my friend.
It definitely felt like that story in the Gospels where there's a crippled man and his friends lower him down through the roof to see Jesus. Because truly, Caitlin was just having me pray scripture. Like sometimes she would give me things to declare, truths to declare. Sometimes she was guiding me through repentance. Other times I was just listening to the Holy Spirit and praying as he led. This whole thing was just all about prayer and listening to the Lord, and we both are relatively well versed in scripture, and so we were praying a lot of scripture. And what was originally going to be a 10-minute goodnight prayer turned into a 2-hour deliverance session, where, you know what, at the end of it, my neck still hurt. Like the neck pain didn't go away, and that was fine, because just because God is a healer doesn't mean he always does in the time that we declare.
Yes.
But he healed so much more. I was totally fine with a sore neck because I truly had some of the best sleep I had had in years. And I don't think I had grasped just how fully the Lord had healed me in that night until the next day. And even then, like I still think about this trip all the time, and I'm still unpacking it. But the next morning I got up refreshed and rejuvenated, and I was just spending some time in the Word, which had also been kind of a struggle for me. Just like being present with the Lord had just been hard the past couple years, but I was actually excited and fulfilled to do so. And so I sat with the Lord and just began to pray. I don't even remember what scripture I read, but I just felt really compelled to pray for some specific people in my life that had hurt me really, really terribly recently. And for the first time, rather than anger, I felt compassion. Rather than wanting justice, I just wanted them to experience the same freedom and healing that I had. Just like Caitlin said, like free people, free people. Freedom begets freedom. And so I wept for those relationships for the first time, not because I was angry or bitter or hurt or wounded. I'd cried plenty of tears over that, and since then I still have. But for the first time, I wept tears of compassion, and finally got a taste of some of what Jesus was telling us in during his ministry on earth, and showing us through his life, of just compassion and love for the people that wrong you. And that was just truly beautiful. And so later that day, we went to do some street evangelism in Michigan. And I had done a little bit of street evangelism before, not a ton. So I was really excited to kind of exercise this muscle. And so there were about 30 of us gathered in this small ministry house, and we were going to go out in small groups and then divide up from there. And so I was really excited. We had a time of worship and prayer, and I don't often contribute in large group settings like that. But I just really felt compelled that I needed to pray. And frankly, to this day, I couldn't even tell you what I prayed. But every word that came out of my mouth, like, I didn't know where it came from. Like, the Holy Spirit was just using me as his mouthpiece to this room of people. Some were as young as what, 14, 15, maybe. Many were not seasoned evangelists. Many were just faithful servants that wanted to obey the Lord. And so it was just a truly beautiful moment. I felt like every phrase that came out of my mouth received some sort of audible affirmation from the room, where it was striking a chord with people. Caitlin, can you kind of testify a little bit to your perspective on that side?
Yeah, for sure. It was really cool because, like, I feel like I can share this. Like, one thing that Katie got really freed of that night was just like being able to use her voice. A lot of times, I feel like especially women really struggle from this lie from the enemy that we can't use our voices. And I just stood in this circle of people, and she started praying out loud, and all I could do was just praise the Lord because it was this tangible sign of freedom, and it was beautiful. And yeah, I mean, there was tons of audible affirmations in that moment. But I think what's really cool too is one thing I want to share from the night before is that after I prayed for Katie, she prayed for me the same night that she went through all of that. And she laid hands, and she only prayed a couple of things, but she prayed this one thing over me. And actually, I'm going to share you specifically what it is because you can start praying over yourself too. But she was like something to the effect of like, in the name of Jesus, like I pray the spirit of immediacy over Caitlin that she will immediately obey when she hears the voice of the Lord. And I mean, I got wrecked because I was like, does homegirl like listening to my prayers? Like, how did she know that? And I didn't know that I could receive that. And so that day, I also saw tangible fruit of like the immediacy. And it was because freed people beget freed people. So yeah, multiple factors at play in this moment. But yeah, she prayed and it was beautiful.
It was so good. And I think there's something really sweet about not always remembering what you pray, because that just shows you how powerfully the Holy Spirit is speaking through you. One kind of practical tool as well to consider is when we went about our street evangelism. I was paired up with a couple young guys from Guatemala, and they were just so sweet, salt of the earth, really awesome. They were brothers. Super honored to be paired with them. And there were a lot of folks out on their porches. School had just let out. It was just a really perfect time to be out on the streets, just meeting with people. And one of the brothers was in high school, hadn't done a ton of this kind of thing, and so he was a bit more nervous. And it was just really sweet to be able to pray with people. And I think a lot of times we can overcomplicate evangelism. One of the ways that I have experienced effectiveness and have really experienced power is just praying for people. And when I pray, I'm praying the gospel. And so I ask people, is there something I can pray for? A lot of times they'll say no, or they'll just mention some sort of casual situation or whatever. And I'll tie in bits of the gospel or an attribute of God or something like that into the prayer. And so I'm not coming off as a Bible thumping radical, but I'm just someone that loves them. And I'm just like, listen, like, I believe that there is a God who is powerful and who loves you and who hears me when I pray. And so when I pray, I'm going to preach to them, And so it's a really approachable way to share the goodness of Jesus, without being offensive or being harsh or too direct, especially in these circumstances where we don't have a lot of relationship.
Yeah,
And
that's so
so
good.
that's a really practical thing that I found. And like I said, I hadn't done a lot of this before, but I had the best 2 hours of my life just walking the streets of Michigan, praying for people. One of the things I had prayed for is that my group would encounter a lot of women, because the other half of my group was all guys. And so I was like, well, God, like, send all the women to me so that I can pray for them, because I'll have a natural connection. And I'm telling you what, the other group of guys didn't see one woman on the streets, but we saw almost exclusively women. And so I got to pray over these single moms with six kids. I got to pray over like these young girls that were just out of school. We got to pray over a Congolese woman. Like, we just had just so many divine encounters just because I asked for it. And I just think that's so cool that God gifted that to us.
It's like the beauty and the danger of prayer, right? Is
Right,
like you
right,
get what
right.
you ask for. Sometimes I think we're afraid to ask because he's actually going to do it.
Oh, 100%.
But yeah, that was so beautiful.
Yeah, so
He came
fun.
back and was like happy as a lark, let me tell you. But
Yeah.
like God will do that through
Yeah.
prayer, through the word.
Super amazing. And I mean, I'm telling you, this entire weekend, this is the kind of stuff that we experienced all weekend long. I don't know, like, so we did our conference, and I don't know, Caitlin, did you talk to someone specific during the conference that day too? Do you want to share a little bit about that?
Yeah, it was so cool. So we do this thing and we just like pray for specific needs that we have on the mission field. Mm-hmm. And there was this guy that came up early on. He had a wife and she came over later. Mm-hmm. And I was just vision casting with him. Like we had, the doors had barely opened, you know, we were just getting started. And I'd like to say too, like we prayed over our booth space before like everybody came in. We just felt like that's really important. And so, yeah, I started talking to him and I was vision casting for like 2 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
And he is losing his mind. He's just like, I didn't know that this was a thing. And so his wife comes over and he's like, listen, like you have to listen to this. And so she comes over and I was literally like 30 seconds in and she's like, hold on. And I can like physically see her like getting hit with the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just like, the Holy Spirit is speaking through you. And I was like, what? Like, I'm just talking.
Yeah.
And like this woman's getting like so wrecked. And so they tell me that like they did, the conference did like a call to like, who's going to be a missionary. And neither one of them had thought about being missionaries. And then they're like, after that conversation, like God catalyzed them to go and they like both went forward and they're like figuring out how they can go to the nations with their kids now. And it was crazy.
Yeah.
So crazy. And like, I prayed with them and I mean, they got wrecked and it's just what Katie said. I just prayed scripture and yeah. I just like spoke into the callings that they had already told me that they had. It was so simple, but there's something powerful about like agreement and relationship in prayer that just makes you get wrecked.
Yeah. So good. I had written down, kind of journaled out one of the stories from that day, and I'm just going to go ahead and read it because if not, I'm pretty sure I would talk for an hour. But, you know, we spent all day Saturday at this conference, and I mean, these are 12 to 13 hour days for us, honestly. And so we often will ask God, like, just make the day go quickly, give us divine encounters. And he absolutely did. I mean, we were talking to people nonstop. And when we weren't talking, we were worshiping or praying. And so it was just super beautiful. But one encounter early in the day was particularly impactful to me, especially just on the heels of all this freedom and deliverance. I mean, I could hardly contain myself. There was this young lady, she was about my age and she was browsing, one of our roles that our organization is sending out. And so I engaged with her. She was formerly a ballerina and was interested in missions as a child. She mentioned that she had a interesting relationship with missions. And so I pressed into that. And without sharing many details, I could just tell that this woman was deeply hurting. So I asked if I could hold her hands and just began going to battle for her in prayer. And I asked that this day would not be about sending her to the nations, but healing her wounds. And I petitioned the Father for renewed love for his bride, revived passion for the gospel, and respite for her weary soul. The more the Spirit gave me to pray, the more she wept and the more her body crumbled. The movement of God was so palpable, I felt like I could taste it. Later that night, as my teammate and I, Caitlin, were rolling our booth supplies out of the building, this woman chased me down the corridor. I'm telling you, there are thousands of people in this arena, and she chased me down the corridor, gave me a giant hug, and declared, "Katie, God did it." She shared how a group of strangers, unprompted, circled her to lay hands and pray. She testified that the worship, prayer, and teaching was like salve to her wounded heart. I knew God would do it, but how kind is he to let me see immediate fruit? And how gracious is he to woo back his daughter and remind her of his love? Free people. Like that's how this works. And it all hinges on our intimacy with Jesus and prayer. Like that's all it is. It's that simple. And I remember telling Caitlin that, like, or maybe I told my husband, I don't remember, but I was just like, is every trip going to be like this? Cause I don't think I can sustain this kind of power all the time. And the reality is that, that's not always how that works. Like there are highs and there are lows. The Lord will fill us for specific tasks and for specific healing and roles that he wants us to fulfill. But that doesn't mean that we plateau. It doesn't mean that we quit. praying or reading or engaging in intimacy with him, it means that just like Jesus did, he took it, you know, he and his disciples had busy days of healing and ministering to people. And then they would retreat to a desolate place and they would eat and they would pray and they would fellowship. And so I think that's a lot of what this weekend in Michigan was, is that was our time of ministry and pouring out and declaring freedom over this part of our country. And then after that, we retreated and we were filled up again. And so that's really important to remember too, is that you can't pour out what's not being poured into you. And I'm very guilty of not understanding that in my own life. I know Caitlin is just as guilty. So
yeah, I was going to say, like, I'm not the only one on this podcast that is similar, although he's been teaching me, because the word says that the Lord of the Sabbath is also the Lord of the harvest.
Yeah.
I was like, well, okay, Jesus.
Yep. Both are true. Both are necessary. And when one or the other is out of balance, we need to ask the Lord to realign us with the balance that he's given us. So,
yeah, absolutely. And just one final thought before we close out, just to what Katie was saying here at the end, just to kind of summarize, like, yeah, sometimes you have these really powerful encounters through like abiding in the word of God and praying and ministering to people. And then other times it feels more mundane and normal, but it's no less powerful because it's the same God, the same word, and the same spirit.
Yeah.
So case in point, like, I just literally was sitting around a table with some girls the other night, just introducing them into missions and, you know, just hearing their hearts. And it was nothing profound, but it was so powerful. And in this moment, it wasn't like really the tangible power of God that really got to their hearts, but it was like really sweet vulnerability of part of my story that opened up the door to go deeper with these people. And I was praising God because I was like, you know, it's the same thing as Michigan. It just looks a lot different. So take heart.
Yeah.
And don't be discouraged when it doesn't look crazy, because it's not meant to look crazy all of the time.
So I have a benediction for you guys. It's out of Mark 5, and this is the story or the event of when Jesus heals a man with a demon. And Jesus was getting into the boat, and the man who had been possessed begged him that he might be with him. He just wanted to be with Jesus, right? Because when we're healed and we're free, we just want to be with the one who's given that to us. And Jesus doesn't let him. He says, and this is my benediction to you guys, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you.
Amen.
Go in peace.